And good morning, family. We thank God for this opportunity that he has given us to come together and to hear his word. God has been mighty, mighty good to us throughout the course of this entire week, and we just bless God for that. I'm praying now that you have your family all gathered up, you're pulling them out of the room, the bedroom, so we can come and we can hear the word of God together. Amen. Our scripture reading for the morning is coming from the book of Joel, Joel chapter 3, beginning at verse number 9. That is in the Old Testament, Joel chapter 3, beginning at verse number 9. And this morning, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. The scripture reads, beginning at verse 9, he says, "Say to the nations far and wide, get ready for war. Call out your best warriors. Let all of your fighting men advance for the attack. Hammer your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Train even your weaklings to be warriors. Come quickly, all you nations everywhere. Gather together in the valley. And now, O Lord, call out your warriors. Let the nations be called to arms. Let them march to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I, the Lord, will sit to pronounce judgment on them all. Swing the sickle and the harvest is ripe. Come, tread the grapes, for the wine press is full. The storage vats are overflowing with the wickedness of these people. Thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decision. There the day of the Lord will soon arrive. The sun and the moon will grow dark and the stars will no longer shine. The Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a strong fortress for the people of Israel. And now, O Lord, call out your warriors." For a subject this morning, get your weapons ready. There's a war going on. Amen. Get your weapons ready. There is a war going on. Surely the Lord is good, y'all, and he is worthy to be praised. And we thank the Lord for all that he does and all that he has done. And I know that we find ourselves in the midst of some very unusual times, but the Lord is still on his throne. And one of the things that I learned it a long time ago, that when you are overwhelmed by those things that you just cannot control, I love hearing David say in the 46th number of the Psalm, "God is our refuge and our strength. God is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and they even foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God and the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns, and the nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. But the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Ladies and gentlemen, there is a war going on. And the war is not with our neighbor. The war is not with our political opponents. This war that we're in, the real war is not even against our geopolitical adversaries. Ephesians 6 makes clear where the war is. But we do not wrestle against flesh or blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Our war is a spiritual war. When amorality has become the social norm, our war is a spiritual war. When immorality is being winked at, our war is a spiritual war. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37 is clear when he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And this is the time when we must do what the Apostle Paul says to each and every one of us: present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service. And that's why God, I believe, has called each and every one of us out. God has called us out because we've got to wage this war. He's called us out, not everybody. I'm talking about the ecclesia, the called out of God. He's called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. He's called us out of the hands of the enemy. He's called us out of our old ways. He has called us out so that we can both save and we can both serve. Proof text me if you want to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20 says that we are ambassadors for our Christ, God making his appeal through us. And then Paul says, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Why? Because God wants to do something extraordinary through us. I would argue now in these very extraordinary times that God is already doing something extraordinary in us. Some of us, just like Evans, some of us came kicking and screaming to this format of delivering the word of God. But I'm watching God take and turn that thing around. Whatever the devil means for evil, God is so awesome because he sure knows how to make it for good. When you look at our text this morning, look here at the book of Joel. His name means Yahweh is God. This pre-exilic prophet with a post-exilic message served in the southern kingdom of Judah, held residence in Jerusalem, was admired by Amos and Isaiah. He prophesied possibly during the childhood reign of King Joash in the 9th century BC. Joel is preaching to the priests and the people of his day. Stay with me now. In chapter number 3, he is attempting to encourage the despondent, the dejected, and the discouraged after the onslaught of a natural disaster. The land of Judah had been overrun by a plague of locusts. Read chapter 1 and 2. Locusts that had devoured the crops, locusts that had devastated the economy, locusts that had dashed the hopes of the people, and he was empowered by God to prophesy in the midst of a national emergency. Kind of sound like something we're going through, doesn't it? Joel chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, Hear this, you leaders of the people. Listen, all who live in the land, in all of your history, has anything like this ever happened before? This is in the Bible, y'all. Tell your children about it in the years to come. Let your children tell their children. Pass the story down from generation to generation. What am I going to tell them, Joel? Well, tell them that verse number 4. After the cutting locusts finished eating the crops, then the swarming locusts took what was left. After them came the hopping locusts, and then came the stripping locusts too. I think that this is a message for each and every one of us. Come here, America. Let's listen to what Joel is saying to us today. We are in the midst of some crazy times, and don't let the people around you or those who are coming after us, don't allow them to forget what has happened to our world. Don't let them forget the year when God pressed the pause button. The year when airplanes stopped flying. Who could have imagined that? The year when trains stopped running. The year when gamblers in Vegas stopped gambling. Good God from Zion. The year when the world's economy actually came to a screeching halt. And just like them, we are in the midst of a natural disaster and a national emergency. But I love the word of God. In this same Joel chapter 2, verse number 25, Joel says that God says to Joel, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locusts. I'll give you back what you lost to the hopping locusts. I'll give you back what you lost to the stripping locusts and to the cutting locusts. He says, read it for yourself. He says, it was I who sent this great destroying army against you in the first place. Come on here, Holy Spirit. Joel chapter 2, verse number 32. He comes back and says, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I don't care whatever it is you're going through. I love to hear that about the God that I serve. It says to me that I am not in the midst of my mess all by myself. I may have been the one who created it. I may have been the one that started it. But what I love about God, he says, and this is Old Testament, y'all. He says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is going to be saved. You're not in this thing alone. God fights for you. Amen. I'm glad about that. God has been hearing our prayers. God is aware of our circumstances. God knows all about my condition and your condition. Deuteronomy 20:4 says, for the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies in order to save you. Amen. You're not fighting this fight all by yourself. And listen, just because you say that you are a card-carrying Baptist, you've been born again, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, does not mean that you will not undergo problems or afflictions in your life. As a matter of fact, said it in the Sunday school lesson, every answer to our question is in our past. How do you know, preacher? Well, God, he wrote it down already, because he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and forevermore. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, I ask you to take some notes now. In the 34th number of the Psalm, verse number 19, the scripture says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Look at verse number 9. So God has given to each and every one of us, those of us who've been born again, he has given to us an assignment. Look at verse number 9. He says, proclaim to the nation. He says, say to the nations far and wide, tell them to get ready for war. God is saying to each and every one of us, we ought not be sitting on the sidelines acting like we don't know what's going on around us. If you are a person that has any kind of divine contact with God, you ought to see the hand of God working all around us. You know, God is the one who stops stuff. You know, God is the one who dumbfounds our politicians. You know, God is the one that can stop every one of us in our track. You know, God is the one who says that you can't hold me to your timetable. God is the God over time. So he says to every one of us, I need you to start opening up your mouth, and I need you to proclaim it. I need you to say something. I need you to tell not just the United States, but tell all of the nations to get ready for war. Tell them to get ready. Tell them to get ready. Proclaim. Tell them to spread the word amongst the nations. What are they going to say, preacher? Tell them to announce the decrees of Yahweh. Make known the sentiments of the sovereign. Tell them to declare what we have seen and what we know now. Make clear the decree of God. I'm saying that those of us who know the Lord ought to know what's going on. Well, amen. Amen. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation because I want to make this really plain to us. The Bible says that you should know this, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. The scripture says, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents. They will be ungrateful. Have you ever run across some ungrateful folk, people you've been blessing, trying to help, and they're still ungrateful? They act like they just are supposed to get whatever they got. The Bible says that when you have a plethora of people with that kind of a problem and that kind of an issue, it's a sign of the times. Amen, amen. So go tell them. Go tell them. Go tell them what? Go tell them about your God. Go tell them what he's done for you. Go tell them. Go tell them that he's the one who puts food on your table. Go tell somebody. Go tell them that the God we serve is a way maker. Go tell them that our God is a protector. Go tell them that even when I'm all by myself, God is my advocate. Go tell them that God is the one who is the savior of the lost. Go and proclaim. Verse number 9. Go tell them
that there is a war, that we are getting ready for war. Amen. Amen. Listen. I hope that you understand that the kind of war that I'm talking about is not hand-to-hand combat. I'm not talking about war against the haves and the haves. Now, I ain't talking about that. I'm not talking about war against one race of people against another, one country against another. No, I'm talking about spiritual warfare. God is saying that we've got to get out and put the real word out. Don't let anybody else control the message of 2020. The message for 2020 is that God got tired of something. And since God got tired of it, God put a stop to it for a little while. Why did he do it? You know, he used to say, you know, I didn't grow up during the time of a timeout. So they ever let me just go think about it. Now, what they did, they spanked my behind, put me in a corner. Then I thought about it after I got the whipping. But since we have this timeout generation, God has put all of us in timeout. And in the midst of the timeout, he wants you to use your head. In the midst of the timeout, he needs you to start thinking about your situation. He locked you up in your house with your spouse. My God, he put you in there with your kids. Your little kids been running crazy all throughout elementary school, junior high school, and as soon as the teacher say something to them, you think that the teacher is picking on your child, but oh, surprise, you got him yourself now. Now you got to teach him, and you got the audacity to say you ain't got the patience. Well, what in the world you think the teacher's going through in a classroom with 30 kids? But let me just move on. You got to go tell it. Tell it in your Facebook account. Tell it in your Twitter feed. Tell it in your TikTok. Tell it in your Snapchat. Tell it in your Instagram, your web page, and your email. Tell them that God is saying that I'm coming to take back everything that the devil stole. What are you going to take back, Lord? Well, I'm coming to take back my prodigal son. I'm coming to take back my lost daughter. I'm coming to take back that drug addicted daddy. I'm coming to take back that lost mother. How do you know? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I don't know about you, but John 3:16-17 is telling me that God is coming to redeem us through his son. Get ready. Get ready. See, the Lord already knows that there's going to be a wrestling match that's going to take place. He already knows that he's going to have to wrench or take us back out of the grasp of the adversary. So when you read that in your Bible in verse number 9, and he's saying, get ready for war, he's telling the adversary, you get ready. Call out your best warriors. Let all of your fighting men advance for the attack. Verse 10, he said, you better tell them that if they coming, they better come with something ready to fight. Hammer the plowshares and the swords. They're pruning hooks in the spears. God say, train the weak men. You better make them as strong as you can, because God recognizes that when the devil comes out after us, he's coming for real. Amen. He's coming for real. You better get ready. God's people will not be sounding the retreat. Did you hear what he said? Get ready. He's not talking about us. He's talking about the adversary. He's telling your enemy. He's telling the ones who think that they have the upper hand. He's saying, get ready for war, because my children will not be retreating. Let me tell you something. Popular culture will not be allowed to secularize the church. That's the Lord, y'all. Sinful behavior and deteriorating moral values will not destroy our families. God say, ain't having any of that. Matthew 16, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, every time you think that you have your hands around one of my children, God says, I'm going to send my ambassadors on the inside of that hell hole, and I'm going to pull them out of that thing, because God says it's wartime. I need to tell you some good news. I got some good news for you today. God is not giving up on America. Hallelujah. I've got good news. God is not giving up on us. He's not giving up on his children. That's mighty good news. I've got good news. We are one nation under God. Praise him. We don't act like it all the time, but I got good news, and I'm saying to you, I'm watching God do this thing. I'm watching God, and I've seen him. I'm experiencing it now. Turning the churches inside out. He turned us out of the four walls and put us back out in our homes, back out in the streets. You know what I love about the time in which we're in right now? Y'all can get this service, then you can go jump to another service, then you can jump to another service. We can church hop and not even feel guilty about it. You can hear five sermons in one day. Let me tell you something. If we were operating with a normative understanding of our society, if we were in the midst of our cultural norms, where you come to church on Sunday, maybe one Sunday out of a month, kinda. Now God has folk who ain't been to church in a mighty long time going to church five times in one day. Tell me my God is not able. I ain't dogging nobody. I ain't talking about you. All I'm saying is God's got a way of getting our attention. God's got a way of, he's got a way of spoon feeding us. And God's got a way, if you would, just ask somebody. God's got a way of force feeding us, because you can't go nowhere else. Ain't no baseball on TV. Ain't no basketball on TV. If you want to watch some old basketball game from 1997, ain't nothing on TV right now. The Jordan thing ain't coming on till 9 o'clock. God is such an awesome God. I'm watching him do that thing. God said, I am not giving up any ground. And if you're asking me, what is he doing? I'm telling you that you need to be doing something. What, preacher? You need to fight for your family salvation. That's what you need to do. You need to fight for the soul of your children. And that's what you need to do. You need to fight for the retention of your own sanity. How do I do it, preacher? 2 Timothy 3:16 is clear. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And I got good news. We even have weapons that we can fight with. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us the weapons of our warfare, they are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. And you know, the reason why God gives us even armor to put on is that we need to anticipate attacks. Y'all know, you know, when things are going real well, don't you know that the devil doesn't want your life going in a straight line? Don't you know he'll throw stumbling blocks in your way? We ought to expect, even anticipate the attack of the enemy and of the adversary. The enemy is looking for your weak spot. The enemy is trying to test you through temptation. The enemy is searching for your areas of vulnerability. That's why Peter says, 1 Peter 5:8, he said, be sober. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking, trying to find somebody to devour. Are y'all ready for war? Are you ready? Are you ready for war? Look here. The adversary, verse number 10, I believe communicates that the adversary is using all available resources at his disposal. How do you know that? Look at the text. He says, God says to them, verse number 10, he says, hammer your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. He says that the adversary is going to take whatever he can get his hands on to beat you down with. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, amen. See, the hammers and the plowshares will change you if you're not careful. The hammer will beat you down and beat you into shape all at the same time. They will transform you through the pounding and through the pressure. The plowshare is a pruning hook that is sharp on one end and it plows and it cuts deep into the ground. Anybody in here, anybody listening to me, have you ever ever been cut? I mean cut. Old folk used to say cut to the quick. You ever, anybody ever cut you like that? People you thought were your friends and you find out that they talk behind your back. You find out that they don't like what you have and they'll run with you, smile in your face all time, want to take your place. You know that song, Backstabber. Anybody ever felt beat down by people who just outright hated you? But you know what I love about Joel? Joel is a good book. I want you to read it when you really get a chance to. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. Joel says that he hears God say, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting. Come with weeping. This is in the Old Testament, y'all. And come with mourning. Don't tear your clothes in your grief, but tear your clothes, tear your heart instead. Don't tear your clothes, tear your heart. Return to the Lord your God, for our God is merciful. Our God is compassionate. Our God is slow to anger. Our God is filled with unfailing love. You know, this season, this time away, and some, bless your heart, some listening to me are, y'all, they are essential workers. They, bless your heart, you get up and you go every day. You're leaving 8-9 people at the house still asleep, bless your heart, and you're still going. You're going out and you are working. You're going out and you are serving. I want to suggest to you that on your way to work, why don't you just turn your radio off? On your way to work, why don't you just get some quiet? And for those who don't have to leave the house, and I've heard you, you told me, you say, Reverend, it's too many folk up in here. Well, you know what I want you to do? Why don't you go in the bathroom sometime? Amen. I ain't playing. You think I'm playing. Go in the bathroom. Close the door. Turn on the fan. They ain't going to run up in that end. And just take your time with God. Train your spirit to depend on God alone. Suppress your desires in favor of God's providential purpose. Develop more than just a momentary meeting with the Holy Ghost. You need to cultivate a constant communal connection with the power of God. Go sit out on the porch if you have one, and I dare you to take some time and to pray with God. Allow God to repurpose the tools that he's already given you. Let me tell you what repurposing looks like. Salvation becomes your helmet. You need that helmet because you've got to protect your mind. Righteousness becomes your breastplate. You need to protect your heart. Truth becomes your belt. Lord have mercy, you need a good belt on so you can move about without any distractions. The word of God becomes your sword. Amen. So that you can defeat foolish arguments. And listen, I love God so well, the way he'll tell you, say, Evans, don't you fear your bullies. Don't worry. Don't you dare worry about your bullies. Look at verse number 11. He says, tell them they better come quickly. All nations everywhere, tell them to meet me down in the valley. And then round verse 11b, he says, and now, O Lord, call out your warriors. Ain't God all right? He said, now, O Lord, call out your warriors, the ones who make the most noise, don't worry about them. The ones who boast of their strength, don't worry about them. The one who may even threaten your job, don't you worry about them. I heard James say, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James said, count it all joy, my brothers. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Let me tell you something. When times get tough, amen, why don't you, I dare you to just call on the Lord. Call on the Lord and say to the Lord, Lord, call out your warriors, Master. Call out the heavenly host. Call them out so that they can fight for me all day and and all night God has his angels watching over me. The prayer warriors, call out the prayer warriors. Let them intercede on your behalf. Call out those who are messing up. Call them out and say, Lord, I need you to make my condition better. Call them out. Call out God and say, Lord, I need your grace and I need your mercy. God, I need favor despite my disposition. I need forgiveness without regard to my offense. And when I call on the Lord and I know that I'm in the midst of a battle, God said, just put your armor on, child. Put your shield up so that you can block the fiery darts of the adversary. Cover up your feet so you can walk through the fire and not get burned. Stand under the anointing and the appointing of the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know sometimes. I know you're just as human as I am. It seems like God won't show up in time, but I'm here to confess that I serve a God who is always on time, even when it looks like it's trouble coming from every side. Trouble in your body, trouble in your mind, and trouble on your job. I'm so glad that I hear the Lord say, we are troubled on every side, yet we are not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I've been persecuted, but I haven't been forsaken. I've been cast down, but I haven't been destroyed. There's a war going on. We've got a war, but thank God I already know what the end is gonna be, because the Lord sent his only begotten son who stepped down from 42 generations. It looked real, real bad. They hung him high, stretched him wide. He died. It looked real, real bad. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. What I love about the God I serve, I heard Jude say, now unto him, he's able to keep you from falling. He's able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Who is he, preacher? He's the only, only. He's the only, only. He's the only wise God. He's my Savior. He's my way maker. He's my way in. He's my way out. He's my cover. He's my comforter. He's my shield. Big Mama used to say, he's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. I'm so glad that I know him. And anytime I see myself in the midst of danger, I can call on Jesus. He'll work it out. Oh, I better let that go. He'll work it out. Amen. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. They thought they had him, but they forgot what he said, that early Sunday morning he would get up with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. You better get your weapons ready. There's a war going on. There's a war going on. And don't let that scare you, because we've already won the war. Amen. We've already won the war. Amen. We've already won. We've already won.